Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Let's pray. Lord, I need you. I pray you'd help me. God, forgive me for the sin in my life. Forgive me for not being what you would have me to be, for thinking things I shouldn't, saying things I shouldn't, doing things I shouldn't. Lord, I need you more than ever. I pray you'd cleanse me. Thank you for the forgiveness you offer to us, Lord, even as your children, that you'll give us a clean slate. And Lord, I pray you just speak through me. Use me as I preach your word. I need you. Pray you'd be with those that are here. Lord, I know it's a Wednesday. We can come in tired, but I pray you'd help us to be attentive and ready to feast on your word, Lord God, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Judge not. Can a Christian judge? Judge not. That's what we're told. Man, that's popular within Christianity today. It's one of the most misapplied verses in the whole Bible is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. If you take any type of stand on the Bible, you're going to hear it. Judge not. And it's in that voice too. They say it like that. Judge not. I'm just kidding. But that's how I hear it. Whenever they say it, that's how I hear it. But it's a misapplied verse. God, though, in this is clearly not telling us to never judge anything. That's not what he's saying. And that's how they apply it. You can't judge anything. But God's not telling us that. Just for instance, take a look at verse 6. Because he says in verse 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged." But verse 6, he tells us, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." Well, if you're not going to give that which is holy unto the dogs, well, who are the dogs? Who are swine? And what's holy? Amen. See, I have to know what those things are and then make a judgment based on that. So clearly he's not telling us to never judge. Now, we're not really going to get into tonight. We're not going to get into the meat of chapter 7, verses 1 through 6 yet, because I want to hit on something first, and then we're going to get to that. And what is God saying in "Judge not that ye be not judged"? We will get to that, but that's going to be in like 2 weeks. It should be in 2 weeks. We'll get to that. That's the plan anyway. But he's clearly not telling us that we're not to judge anything. You can also see that if you if you go to verses 15 to 17. In verses 15 to 17, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." So God's clearly telling us there are things you're supposed to judge. He told us right there, beware of false prophets. Well, how do I know they're a false prophet unless I judge that? Unless I judge what they're saying, what they're teaching. He says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." So that means I have to look at them and watch it, get this, and I got to be a fruit inspector. That's what I have to do. I've heard Christians say, "We're not fruit inspectors." You sure? Now, there can be a hypercritical spirit in all of this as well. And that's really what verses 1 through 6 are dealing with. But we are to be fruit inspectors. God told us to. Beware of false prophets. You will know them by their fruits. You have to look at what they're putting forth, what they're putting out. You have to do that. So God clearly wants us to judge things. Though it's popular today to teach that we cannot judge, God's word commands us to judge things. It absolutely commands us to judge things. Just right there within the context of judge not lest you, that ye be not judged, it tells us to judge. The hypocritical thing about this is these people tell you judge not when you say something, but them telling you judge not, they're judging you. They're judging you to even say that. That's as hypocritical as it gets. That's the peak of hypocrisy. That's what chapter 7, verses 1 through 6 deal with. We'll get to that. The danger with this is that worldly, if not lost, people quote this verse as a cover for their sin. They're going to quote it because you're going to hit on their sin. You're going to touch on their sin. They're, judge not. You can't judge me for that. I can do that. And look, I'm telling you, this goes back to the whole thing we've been dealing with in Bible Institute, but I've taught on it here in church as well. It deals with this thing of a false gospel and just salvation being turned into just a prayer. Because all these people, well, I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. I have eternal life. Don't judge me. I'm forgiven. But are they? If they're defending sin. See, as Christians, we shouldn't defend sin. We've got a problem. Whenever I hear something, even if I'm doing it, I'm not going to defend sin. Because maybe I'm doing it. I'm like, it's wrong. And hopefully I get it right and stop. But when a Christian's defending their sin, there's a problem. It's dangerous that they're doing that. So they'll quote this verse, Matthew 7:1, as a cover for their sin. Thankfully, God loves us enough to uncover our mask of sin and darkness and reveal the truth to us. John 15:22, Jesus said this, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now, because I came and spoke to them, because I'm here, they have no cloak for their sin." A cloak is like a robe, a covering. They have no covering for their sin anymore. Because I came and spoke to them. And that's how it is. If you speak the truth to people, and we need to speak the truth in love, that's important. But if you speak the truth to people, they no longer have a cloak for their sin. So they're going to get mad. They'll say, "Judge not." They're going to tell you that. Just like Christ, as He came and spoke to them, He says, "But now they have no cloak for their sin." They want to claim they're a Christian and continue to cling to every sin they've always loved. I'm telling you, this is what the modern gospel is teaching people. This is what's going on right here. This is where apostasy is. This is apostasy's verse right here. Apostate Christianity's verse is this one right here. Because they can live how they want and say, "Judge not." And most Christians don't know what to say to that. They're like, "Well, it does say, judge not." To give them the explanation, you have to get in and dig into some context, and they usually won't listen to you about it. But there's an answer. The Bible speaks of somebody like this that wants to cling to all their sin as a false convert. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His." And get this, so those that belong to God, God knows them. And the rest of verse 19 in 2 Timothy 2 says this, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's what God expects of a saved person, you depart from iniquity. Sinless? No. But you're departing from iniquity. Titus 1:16 says, "They profess that they know God." They say it. "I know God. I'm saved." But in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So they can say that they know God, but their works or their fruit says the opposite. But in works they deny Him. So instead of ripping this verse, Matthew 7:1, out from its context, the context it's written in, the context of the Bible as a whole, we need to compare Scripture with Scripture. Because we say, well, judge not. Okay, well, it does say that, but in, you know, five verses later, it says that we're to not give that which is holy unto the dogs, so we have to judge. 15 verses later, it says, beware of false prophets. You'll know them by their fruit. We have to judge. So just in the context of that same chapter, the same sermon, this is all one sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is preaching the same sermon. You think he's going to contradict himself? That doesn't even make sense. Amen. We have to get in and see, what is he teaching? What's he saying about judge not? Why aren't we to judge in what he's teaching? And again, we'll get to that in a couple weeks. Proper biblical judgment is a matter of spiritual discernment. It's an absolute matter of spiritual discernment. This fits with what I preached on Sunday night with the primary principles. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. And those are leading into chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 5, and we want verse 12. All right, when you're there, say hallelujah. All right, does anybody need to do jumping jacks or anything? Stand up and stretch. Air conditioner need to come on? No AC? The ladies are like, no, I got an evil eye from nobody. I won't say anything. Judge not. All right, Hebrews 5:12 says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, and I know I've hit on this, but it's important we get this. So these people ought to be teachers. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So you need to be taught again. You need to be taught these first principles. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Okay, so you're unskillful if you're still using milk. If you need to be taught the first principles, then you're become one such as has need of milk and not strong meat. Saying you're like a baby. Okay, if you use milk, you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. You're a babe. Okay? Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Okay, obviously as you grow up, you can eat meat because you've matured, okay? Strong meat, and it's speaking of spiritual matters here. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by, get this, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So I said, proper biblical judgment is a matter of spiritual discernment. It will only come through use. You have to know the milk of the word. So again, it starts with the primary principles, because then chapter 6 verses 1 and 2 hit on those primary principles, what they are. That's foundational. That's milk. That's what it's saying. It's the basis. That's what we build up from. So we need those things in order to grow. And as we use it, then we'll have discernment. And discernment is the ability to tell from right and wrong. That's what it says right there. It defines it for us. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Bible will define words for you if you let it. To discern both good and evil. To tell the difference between what's good and what's evil. That's judgment. So again, proper biblical judgment is a matter of spiritual discernment. The Lord Jesus himself said we're to judge righteous judgment. John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And it fits with what Proverbs teaches about being prudent and looking into things. And that's what he's talking about. Look into it and make a righteous judgment. A judgment which is going to be based on the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches. So Jesus himself said, hey, judge righteous judgment. Okay, Hebrews 5:14, again, means that we are to grow in discernment, then we're to exercise ourselves in using it. If we want to grow in that discernment, we want to grow in the ability to judge whether something's right or wrong, then we have to use it. We have to use what God gives us. God's not going to give you more if you won't use what he's giving you. So you have to use it, and then he'll give you more. He'll teach you more. Again, discernment is the ability to judge between what is right and wrong. You will not grow and mature if you don't judge things based on the standard of the Word of God. You will not grow and mature if you don't judge things based on the standard of God's Word. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Actually, it's 2 Peter is what I want. I'm sorry, 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1:5 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So we are to add to our faith virtue. And again, virtue is the ability to stand for right, and add to virtue knowledge. And this is how we grow in our faith. We add these things to it. And lastly, brotherly kindness. I preached the series through that and growing in our faith. And then verse 8 says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we need to be adding to our faith. We need knowledge. Verse 9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind." You're blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So somebody that lacks these things, that's not growing in the faith, is blind. They're not going to see things. They're going to sit there and say, "Judge not." Why? Because they're not growing in their faith. They're not following what God's showing them. They're not following what the light that is there. You have to add to your faith. You won't grow if you don't use what God's giving you. Again, we don't judge things by our own opinion, but by the Word of God. See, that's the judgment we make. That's the difference between what this world's going to say, "Oh, you can't judge people." Yes, we can, but it's not based on my opinion. The judgment we give as Christians ought to be based on what the Word of God says, because this is our standard. You can stand there and tell somebody what you're doing is wrong. "Well, you shouldn't judge me." I didn't. God did. I'm just telling you that's what it says. That's the judgment that we give. And I don't care how sincere you are, they're going to mislabel you. They're going to say that you think you're better than me and you just hate me and, you know, you're against me. Well, I'm against what you're doing, but I'm telling you because I'm for you and I want to help you.
That's right. Amen.
That's why we do it. But I don't care how sincere you are, how loving, how biblical you are, they're going to mislabel you. They're going to say all sorts of things against you. But we don't judge things by our own opinion, but by the Word of God. And that's what it means to judge righteous judgment. It's based on the Word of God. And I'm telling you, if you take that stand, there's going to be times in your life, not every time, but there will be times in your life when you're going to stand alone. It might be at work, it might be at school, it might be with your family. But there will be times that you're going to have to stand alone. And you have to just be sure of this thing, of this book, and what you believe. That's why it's so important that you know why you believe what you believe. Because doubts will come. When other Christians are like, "You know, you're just mean. You think you're better than us." No. I just love God. I just love God. We want to walk in the path that our Savior set before us. And when He came preaching the truth, He preached grace and truth. They didn't like it. They wanted to stone Him for it. The religious folks are the ones that wanted to kill Him. The ones that said they were following Him were the ones that wanted to kill Him. The ones that did. Now we understand He died for all of our sins. But the means that the Lord used for Him to go to the cross was Him coming and preaching the truth. And just like all the prophets before Him, He said, "Just like all the prophets before me, you guys have killed. Your fathers killed them. You're going to kill me." So, should we expect anything different than what our Master received? Now see, this is why we even got into this whole thing, getting into the Sermon on the Mount, was dealing with discipleship. It's a serious thing to be a disciple of Christ. It's real business to be a disciple of Christ. It's not this, "Let's just come play Christianity and play patty cake." It's not that. We have to ask ourselves, am I really in this thing? Am I really following the Lord? Do I really want this? I mean, I look at the man that came running to him. He said, Master, Master, hey, let me go with you. He says, okay, that's great. He says, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You want to follow me? Great. I have no home. What was he doing? He could have sugarcoated it and not told him that. He said, oh, great, come on. Hey, look, I got a nice pillow here for you. All this stuff. He could have sugarcoated it, kept some things back, not told him some things. He did not do that. He said, you want to follow me? Here it is. Let me lay it out straight for you. I think of Timothy. His introduction to the Christian ministry was watching the Apostle Paul be stoned and left for dead. That's his introduction to Christianity. Hey, you want to get saved now? You want to be a part of this? Come on. Who's going to sign up for that one? It's like him going to some apostate church here, going out preaching, and then they kill the preacher. They try to. They leave him for dead. They think he's dead. And then now you witness that, and you're like, hey, can I be a part of that? That's what it meant to be a Christian then. It was no joke. Today, everybody's a Christian. So we got to ask ourselves, do I want to be a disciple? Am I willing to take up my cross and follow him? If they did it to our Savior, you think they won't do it to us? And what is going to happen to us in this country? Right now, anyway. I don't know what the future holds, but right now, what are they going to get mad at us? Call us some names? Laugh at us? Isn't that the least we can endure for our Savior? Stand for righteousness? I think we can do that. Let's go ahead, go to Psalm 119, verse 104. Psalm chapter 119, verse 104. Psalm 119, 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. It says, God, I begin to understand things through your precepts, through his word. He says, because of your precepts giving me understanding, he says, therefore I hate most false ways. Many false ways. Almost every false way. No, I hate every false way. Every false way. That's what the psalmist said. And God said, write that down. God told him, write that down. I hate every false way. Man, it's almost like God loves truth or something. It's almost like God is truth. Right. And it's almost like God esteems truth. He says, I hate every false way. So if we're to be like God, then we need to hate every false way. We need to not give in a little. Because, well, my family, my friend, I don't want to offend them. The psalmist said, I hate every false way. And God said, amen. Look at verse 128. Well, let's go to verse 126 here. He says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. They're ignoring your word, God. So he says, it's time for you to work, Lord, because they've made void thy law. Isn't that where we're at? Amen. Made void God's law. I saw, man, I can't believe how sick this world's getting. I know the depravity of man, but it still never ceases to amaze me how low mankind can get. When I just saw today that I may mix this up, but it was a mother and a son are now going to be a father and a daughter. What? They're having sex changes. A mother and a son are now going to become a father and a daughter. They're not going to be a father and a daughter. They'll still be a mother and a son. But that's how wicked this world's getting. Just like it says right there, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. We better ask ourselves, do we really want that? Is that something we really want? Because if God's going to work, if we're asking Him, praying that prayer right there, we're asking for His judgment. They're making void your law, God. It's time for you to work. Then we better be ready. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. That's what the psalmist prayed. Why? Because I hate every false way. They have made void thy law, verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. See, there's a love for the word of God. As disciples, we ought to love God's word above gold. Above gold. If you had the option of $1 million or your Bible, and you couldn't have a Bible, you'd get the million and no Bible, or you get a Bible and no million. What would you choose? Don't just be like, oh, Bible. No, think about it. Think about it. Put yourself in a situation, dire straits. I mean, your kid's sick and has cancer and you need money. Your mom, dad is sick and is going to die and you need the money to take care of them, to help them. Put yourself in a desperate situation, one or the other. What are you going to choose? What will you choose? Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, verse 128, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I esteem all thy precepts. I esteem, I lift them up, I magnify them. I put it above everything. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Doesn't matter, whatever the Bible touches on, I consider it to be right. There's no error in it. It's right. And I hate every false way. That's the attitude of a Bible believer right there. Somebody that loves their God, loves His Word above everything else. That should be our attitude. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right and hate every false way. Not some false ways, not most false ways, every false way. That's why we're going to Wyoming. That's why I'm getting rebaptized. Biblically, it's really my first baptism. That's really what it is. And that's why I'm getting ordained. Because I hate every false way. Amen. It's funny, after verse 104, he says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And then there's verse 105, which says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, we get understanding through His Word, and we hate every false way, and His Word lights our way. It lights the next step we're to take. And that's what we're to do. We're to just follow the light that the Lord gives us. But again, we got to this because we say we don't judge based on our own opinion. We judge based on God's Word. And if it's false according to the Bible, then we hate it. We ought to hate it. Not cozy up to it. Say, it's really not that bad. We ought to hate it. That put Jesus on the cross. And He warned us about these types of things. Now, part of the problem is that people don't want their evil deeds exposed, so they cry, judge not, when the light is shined on their evil. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when you shine that light on somebody's evil, they say, oh no, you're taking my cloak away. They're giving me my blanket. That's what they're doing. Give it back. Cover me up. I don't want anyone to see what I'm doing. I'm doing this in hiding. Get that light out of here. You can see everything that's wrong. Take that light away. They don't want it. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. I don't care who they are. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They all might be damned because they rejected the truth, they believed it not, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They wanted their sin. Give me my sin. Give me my sin. And when we expose that, they say, judge not. Well, I'm not. I'm just telling you what God's going to tell you. And probably in a much softer manner than he will. Because he's going to look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you. As you're cast into the lake of fire. There's no more mercy at that point. You rejected what his son did for you. He says, you spit on the offering I made for you. Straight to hell with you. That's what he's going to say. Why? Because he's a just God. His justice will be met. So I thought God's loving. He is. He showed them his love by dying on the cross. They rejected it. Christians are commanded multiple times within the Bible to judge. Next week, we're going to look at this. What are we to judge? Where are we to judge? When are we to judge? Because it's all throughout the Bible. I mean, there's so much. I mean, just even right here in Psalm 119, he's, therefore I hate every false way. How do you know it's false? How do you know something's true or false without making a judgment? It's impossible. You can't. So even implied right there is judgment. Make a judgment call. You have to judge. Well, how do we know what to judge based off of? Through thy precepts I get understanding. Through your word, God, I get understanding. God, you teach me through your word. So Lord, show me. And we have to be willing to stand where God tells us to, with what God says to stand on, and where he says to stand, and hate every false way. We got to be like the psalmist, that we just love God more than anything, and we love his word more than anything. We lift that up and magnify that. You know, I got a verse in here. I always forget the reference for it. He says, but therefore I esteem, let me see if I can find it because I'm going to misquote it. Oh, Psalm 138:2 says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God did that. God lifted his word above all his name. His name, you misuse God's name, it's blasphemy. Blasphemy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's that serious. And God says, I've magnified my word above my name. If he's lifted his word above his name, you think we should hate every false way too? Amen. Amen. We ought to hate every false way too. Even the false ways we commit. We ought to despise that. Despise it. Go to Job with me, please. Job 42, verse 6. Job gets a picture of God. God begins talking with him. Job went through a lot. I couldn't handle what Job went through. I don't think I could. I wouldn't ever pretend I could. I don't want to go through what Job went through, but Job went through a lot. And God used it. Job said that when I'm done with this, I'll come forth as gold. He said, I know the Lord's working on me. I can't see the end in sight, but I know when I'm done, when I get through this, I'm going to come forth as gold. And Job had a conversation with God. And God showed Job some things and asked him some questions to tell him, you're not as good as you think you are. You're not as great as you think you are. You better recognize that I am God and I created all of this and I know what's going on and you don't. And when Job got a picture of that, he saw himself for what he really is, standing before a holy God. Like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Because he got a taste of himself in the presence of God's holiness. And that's what Job got. And we see his response in Job 42, 6. He says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So if we hate every false way, then that means we hate the false ways that we commit. And when Job got a taste of what he was in God's eyes, in God's sight, he said, I abhor myself. That word abhor means to hate. But I hate what I am. Why? Because Job, like the psalmist, I believe would say, I hate every false way. Let's get another place. Go to Romans chapter 7. We'll pick up in Romans 7:23. If you want really all the context, go to start in verse 15, but we're not going to read all that right now. This is Paul. He says right here, Romans 7:23, but I see another law in my members. He's talking about his flesh and his body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he makes this statement. This is very similar to what Job is saying. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Here's what Paul says. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What's he saying? I'm a wretched man. I'm just miserable and worthless. He says, I hate what I am. I hate what's in my flesh. Because he knows it pulls him away from God. He knows it pulls him from God. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Amen. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen right there. Praise God for that. There is the light at the end of the tunnel. There is victory because of Christ. Praise God. But we hate every false way. That ought to be our attitude. And if we have that attitude, we will judge righteous judgment based on the Word of God. And we'll call things like they are. Not to be mean, but because we hate every false way and we love God. And God's told us, here's where I want you to stand. I'm just telling you, look at the prophets that came. As you read through, you know, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, you start reading through those, the smaller prophets, those guys, and they come preaching God's word. Amos says, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate. They hate him. They're preaching to supposed to be Jews, religious people, saved people, supposed to be. But he says, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate. But they go preaching at the city gate because that's where everybody was at. They'd go preaching there, and they hate that. Why? Because they have no cloak for their sin because you're shining light on their darkness. All throughout, they hate it. When someone stands boldly for God and for righteousness, lost people hate it. Christians will hate it. I'm talking about saved people will hate it when you point out the errors that they're going through, the errors that they're doing. They'll hate it, and they'll turn it on you. It's all throughout the Bible. Hey, through your precepts I gain understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. If we love God supremely, then the natural outcome of that is going to be that I hate every false way. I'm just going to, and then I will make a judgment based on that, and I'm going to say what God says. And I have to stand there. We have to stand there. And it'll be unpopular. Even within Christianity, it'll be unpopular. But do we hate every false way? And we're going to have to judge and say, that's wrong. That's wrong. I mean, this stand that we're taking here that I spoke on Sunday night about what we're going to be doing moving forward, people aren't going to like that. Because they know that with us doing this, we're saying then the baptism we had was no good. It was no baptism. They get that. They're going to say, you think you're better than we are. Not at all. Not at all. I just hate every false way. We're walking in the light. That's what it is. That's what we're doing. That's what God wants from us. So we have to judge and say, that's wrong. That's right. One more spot. we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 4. I just told them last night, I was like, I don't think I ever say I'm done. And here I just said it. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God, okay? It's likened to a two-edged sword, piercing even, get this, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But what does it say about that sword? The sword of the Spirit, the sword of the word of God. It's piercing even to the dividing. Truth will divide. The evangelical cry. Evangelical, when I say that, I'm meaning that's most of modern Christianity would call itself evangelical. Okay, you listen to Christian radio, they're going to be called evangelicals. And the evangelical cry, and they mean this in a bad way. I take it as something good, but they say, doctrine divides. Same voice as the judge not, okay? It's the same voice. Doctrine divides, all right? But they say it as it's a bad thing. Well, the sword of the Spirit divides. Doctrine. Amen, it does divide. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We can't see it as a bad thing. They see it as a bad thing. We can't see it as a bad thing. We have to see it as something good. Praise God, it divides. You know what that'll do? Look, I want people to come here. I want people to grow and learn the Word of God. I do. That's why we go out soul winning. So we can reach people with the gospel, teach them the truth, and multiply this, what we're doing here in other parts of this city. That's what we want to do. Why? Because that's what God wants. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why. So they can have their sins forgiven. So they can walk in fellowship with the Lord. That's what we want to do. But doctrine divides. And if we have right doctrine, it's going to keep some people out. That's a good thing. It'll protect us. See, false doctrine is likened to leaven or like a cancerous cell. It gets in and it'll spread. And it'll contaminate and hurt other people. But if we have right doctrine, it'll keep people out. We've had people visit here that come with false doctrine. And if I know, there's times I've said some things. Because I'm letting them know where we stand. Maybe I'll have talked to them before the service starts. I'm like, okay, I see where they're coming from. I don't do it to be mean. I do it to let them know, here's what we believe. Here's where we stand. And you might not like it here. Because we're going to hold the sound doctrine. See, that's something a shepherd has to do. You run the wolves off. You run the danger off. Go away. Why? By preaching the truth, by letting that doctrine divide, by hating every false way. We have to do that. We have to. It's a protection for us. We have to judge. We're going to get into next week where we judge, what we judge, why we judge. Well, I think we know why, but we'll see what the Bible says about it. I want us to come away with this, though, that we would want to stand with truth. And hate every false way. And I don't believe anyone here doesn't stand there. I think we all do. And I praise the Lord for that. But I want to help us to know why. To give you the encouragement in taking that stand. And we need to take that stand with love. And be willing to teach people. Just like someone's taught us. We need to teach them. So that's the takeaway, is that we're going to stand for truth. We're not going to back down, but we're going to hate every false way. And if it's false, we'll say so. We don't always have to go blasting everybody and everything, but if they're going to come to us, then we'll let them know this is where we stand and we'll let it divide. Or bring them in. Amen. That's okay. Let's pray.